And we're holding on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. We were talking about the case where a man marries a woman on the assumption that she's a basula, and it turns out that she's not. We said before that Rava had said that she doesn't have a ksuba at all. Now it's different if he finds that she's a mukas eitz. Then we said that she does get a ksuba of a mona, but if she's a ba'ula, then she gets no ksuba at all because mekach tos. Rav Sheshes had said that she has a mona. So in this connection, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a braisa, konsarishim l'shum nisuin. If a woman was married to a man the first time and he actually went into the chuppah with her, so before we had talked about where they only did edusin, here we're talking about where they did the chuppah as well. The yashla edim shla nistera, but there were edim that she wasn't actually alone with him after the chuppah. Inami, or another possibility, nistera v'loy shasa k'dei bia, or she was in alone with him, but not the amount of time that it would take for bia. Which at the beginning of Sota, it talks about a half dozen different opinions, how long that is. But either way, the point is that she's obviously not had relations. Nevertheless, if her first husband dies or divorces her, then the second one can't claim Tainas Basulim and say, I didn't find there's a Basulim, that she didn't have Basulim, and there's a problem. Shari conservation, because after all, the first one already did Nisuin, and we said in our Mishnah that Amona from Nisuin, even if she's still physically a Basula, then we still say there's no Tainas Basulim. So the point is that even though, Rashi says, even though that here we have Edim, normally you would say Nisuin automatically means once there's Nisuin, the next thing is Bia. Here there's actually Edim to the effect that there was no Bia. Nevertheless, we still say that he can't say Mekach Tos. He has to assume that it's very likely that did nevertheless have relations, and therefore there's no Tainus Basulim. Omer Rabba, so Rabba says, Zoi Semeres, from this you see, Konsa B'cheskas Basula V'nimtis Ba'ula, that if he marries a woman having with a Chazaka that she's a Basula, and it turns out that she's a Ba'ula, Yesh Lach Ksuba Mona, then she will have a Ksuba of a Mona. Like Rav Sheshes said before, because here we have exactly that. He has a chazaka that she's a basola. It turns out that she's a ba'ula. She does have, because he after all relied on the edim. So you would think he has the right to say that it's likely that she was in fact a basola. Nevertheless, he doesn't have that argument, and he can't say that it was mekach tos. That's Rabba says. Rabba Ashi, on the other hand, Rabba Ashi says no. You could say that in general, when he marries her thinking she's a basula and it turns out that she's a ba'ula, you would say it is a mekach tos and she has nothing at all, like Rava said. But it would be different over here, shiny conservation, because after all, the first one did marry her. They did do chuppah, and the second one knows it. So therefore, he already had a chazaka that she was a ba'ula. Fine, there might be Edom that they didn't have relations yet, but nevertheless, he's still not necessarily relying on them. He's saying maybe just the Edom are saying that in order to make her look good to him, Tosfos says. There are Edom, but he might say that they're only saying it for her shvach. They want to make her look better or something. The Gemara says, what are we saying that the second one can't argue Tainas Basulim? Isn't there the possibility, after all, that she may have been Mizana during the Erusin? And then, as we said at the beginning on Daf Tes, that then you have a potential problem. She could be also to him. And we said actually at the beginning of the Masechta that we want to have a Basulim Nisus the Yomer V precisely so that they come to Beis Din as soon as possible and hash all this out. So Rashi explains the question is not so much on Rav Sheshes saying the question is not so much on Rav Sheshes saying before and Rabba saying that she has a ksuba of a mona because they came to Beis Din and checked it out and found that the znus was before that. So then we would say that there is a ksuba. Here we're talking about when he says Eina Sheni Yochel Litin Tainus Basulim means he can't even make a claim to begin with, meaning that Beis Din is not even going to give him an appointment to hear the claim. Well, why not? Isn't there the possibility that there was Znus during the Erusin? And the answer is Amar Reb Shrevya Kigun Shekidush Bar La'alter. The case is where the second one did the Kiddushin and the Be'ila back to back, which is actually more like the way we do things nowadays, where we do the kiddushin right there under the chuppah, and then immediately after that is the chuppah and the yichud room, and that night is the first be'ilah, and there's not really time in between for there to be znus. So therefore, necessarily, if he finds that if he finds she's not a basula, and again, it's not, we're assuming that it's not mukas eitz either, because as Tosfa said earlier on Daf Yud, if she was a mukas eitz, she would say so. She wouldn't be embarrassed to say that. Or because as other Rishonim learned, it's so rare to be mukas eitz that it's not even a possibility, really. So therefore, so we know it can't have been during the Erisin, because the Erisin itself was very short, and therefore necessarily it has to have been before the Erisin, and then fine, there's no problem with her being osur to him. So now the Gemara says, now this that we said, that Rabba said, Zois Emeris, we see from the Braisa that we quoted at the bottom of Yurala from the Beis, that another version is, another version is that Rabba's statement was said regarding on Mishnah, not regarding the Braisa. Where the Mishnah had said, Basula almano grusha v'chalutza min anisurin, that if the woman is a basula, but she's a widow or a divorcee or a chalutza after the nisurin, so there was nisurin, but nevertheless, she's still physically a basula, ksubasin mana, the Mishnah said she gets a ksuba of a mana rather than 200, ba'in lehen tainas basula, and there's no tainas basulim, because again, he married her having the chazaka already that she already had relations, because usually nisurin, the next thing after that, is having relations. So Basulamin and Nisuin, Hechem Ashkachas law. So you have to think about it. How would it be possible that there was a Basula and that there was a Nisuin and that she's still a Basula? Wouldn't it be Kagunchin Nichnasala Chuppah Valinivala? Presumably it would be where she went into the Chuppah, which as we said before, there's a few possibilities what the Chuppah is. One is that it's actually the Yichud room, and that's usually where they would have first relations. But nevertheless, they didn't. They didn't actually have first relations. So now we're not talking necessarily where there's Edim involved. Before we said in connection with the Braisa that there were Edim that she wasn't Nival. Here we're talking about not necessarily. Here we're saying that there aren't any Edim, but nevertheless he figured on the basis of her say so that she's a Basula. So we said she gets a Ksuba of a Mona and he can't do Tainus Basula. So on that, the second version is that Rabba is saying on that Mishnah, Zoy Semeres, concept of Chazkas Basula, Venimtis Baula, that if he married her with the Chazaka, that she's a Basula, and it turns out she's a Baula, so Bosom Mona, then she gets a Ksuba of 100, we don't say that it's a Mekach Tos. And again, Rav Ashi Yomar, in the second version also, Rav Ashi disagrees and says, La'olam Eimalach Ba'alma Leslakwal, you could say that maybe in general, when he marries her Becheskes Besula, and it turns out that she's a Be'ula, he could claim Mekach Tos and say she doesn't get anything at all. V'shayni Hocha, Shayni Nechnesa B'chuppah, again, you could say it's different over here, because she did go into the Chuppah, and he knows that, so therefore it's different when he married her, thinking that she hadn't even been in the chuppah yet, and then it turns out that she's a ba'ula, where she'd been mezanim beforehand or something, and where then maybe Rav Ashi says he could claim mekach tos. Again, the question is, v'leichu shematacht of zinsa, the same as in the first version, don't we have the concern that maybe she was mezana after the erusin? How do we know? At least we should allow him to go to Beis Din and get that checked out. And again, the answer is Amar of Shirav Yekudanch Kiddush or Baal Alter. Again, the same answer as in the first version, where we're talking about that he did the Kiddushin, and immediately after that, he did the first Be'ila. Again, much like we do nowadays, where the Kiddushin is done very shortly before the Be'ila. So therefore, there's no real time in between for Turbin Mazak. Now, what's the difference between the two versions? So we have one version where Rabba's and Rav Ashi's statements are in connection with the Braisa, and another version where they're in connection with our Mishnah. So Manda Masnila Braisa, the one who learned that Rabba's statement and Rav Ashi's rejection of it are referring to the Braisa Kol Shekein Amasnissin. So they would say all the more so on the Mishnah, because the Braisa is talking about where we actually have Edim, that they weren't in Stira long enough, that they weren't Nister, that they weren't alone long enough for there to have even been Bia, or that they either we said there were Edim that there wasn't Stira at all, or there was Stira but not long enough for Bia. So then it's all the more so in our Mishnah where there aren't Edim at all. So all the more so Rav Ashi would say that nevertheless we would say in our Mishnah where we don't even have Edim, for all we know, Nisuin Chuppah usually is followed by Bia, then we would say it's most likely that she was Nivala, and therefore we could say that, Rav Ashi would say that's a special case where therefore it's not really a Mekach Tos, because he should know to begin with that likely Be'ilah was already done. But so that would be. So if we say it on the Braisa, all the more so on the Mishnah. But the second version that says that it's in reference to our Mishnah, Avala Braisa Loi. But he would say that Rav Ashi's statement is not necessarily valid when referring to the Mishnah, Mishum de Motzi Omala Anoa Edim Samki. Because after all, in the case of the Braisa, where there are Edim, that there wasn't any stira at all, he would have the right maybe to say that, look, I'm relying on the Edim. As far as I know, it's one thing in the Mishnah, there were no Edim at all. In the Mishnah, there was Nisuin, and after Nisuin, the usual expectation is that she's going to be a Ba'ula. But that's in the case of the Mishnah. So therefore, fine, when I married you, I knew there's a fair chance that you were Ba'ula. I can't now claim Mekach Tos and go to based in Matinus Solim. But when it comes to the Braisa, where there were Edim, that there was no stira or the stira was too short, then maybe the husband would have the right to say, Rav Ashi might say, the husband would have every right to say, you know what, as far as I knew, you were a Basula. I had Edim after all to that effect. It turns out now you're not a Basula. Well, then I'm going to claim Mekartos. So if we say that the statement of Rabba and the rejection of Rav Ashi are referring to the Mishnah, then not necessarily would Rav Ashi hold the same thing in the Braisa. He might well say that in the case of the Braisa, if in fact it turns out that she is a Ba'ula, then in fact he could claim Mekartos. Okay. Mishnah says, continuing on this topic of when we say that there can be Tainas Solim or not, If the chassan eats by his father-in-law in Yehuda, now we talked about the other day that in Yehuda they had a minhag that the chassan and kala would be allowed to be alone after the erusin, unlike in other places where they had the minhag that they're only allowed to be together after the nisuin. But in Yehuda they had the minhag that they would actually be alone after the erusin as well. And later on, actually, the Gemara is going to talk about. That's something else. No, it means that he eats after the Erusin, and the assumption is once he's eating over there, it shows that that's how they used to do it. The Rashba explains that where they had the minhag to do the yichud, then they would also have the chassan would go and eat together with the kala's family. So then, and there's no edim that there was no yichud. So afterwards, you can't claim tainas besulim and say that it was mekach tos and say that she should forfeit her ksuba. Actually, we learned earlier in the Gemara, we said he could claim tainas besulim to the extent that she's auster to him, because he could claim that there may be a suffix, at least whether it was after the erusin, and therefore that would create a problem. But at least as far as making her forfeit her ksuba, we can't say that, because the likelihood is that who had relations with her during that time is he himself. Because in those places, the minhag was that he was alone with them, and therefore there's a high likelihood that in fact they had relations. So Rashi says it's not even necessarily that he's maliciously. So Rashi earlier on Daf Tes explains it's not even that he's maliciously saying now, knowing that he had relations with her, he's going to Davka go and claim Tainas Pesulim. It could very well be that he forgot, or maybe he didn't realize that he did Bia to the extent where he broke her Pesulim. We talked about the other day the reason why we brought something the other day from the Meiri, why it is that why in Yehuda they had that minhag anyway, and the reason was because in Yehuda particularly they had, we talked about before on Daf Gimel, how the goyim at one point made a gzera that any besula who gets married has to first spend a night with the local goyish warlord, the local goyish hegemon. So therefore in Yehuda the goyim enforced those laws more strictly. So they wanted to make sure they are more than any place else, that the chassan and kala have already had the time to be alone and to develop a close relationship, such that if she does end up getting taken by the hegemon, she's less likely to do it berotzen. It's more likely that it would be ba'onus, and that way she wouldn't be also to her husband. Okay, so the Gemara says mid katoni ha'oichel. Now you're saying if he eats by his father-in-law in Yehuda. So the implication now, if it meant that in all of Yehuda, if they do that, then the Loshen would be something different. Then it would say something like, Hanoisi should be Yehuda, where if a man marries a woman in Yehuda. Instead, Niklal de'ikaduch de'bi Yehuda nami de'loyachol. So the implication is that even within Yehuda itself, there are some places where they don't in fact eat together with the chassan, with the kala's family, and do this yichud during the erusin. So Abaye says, well, you see from that even in Yehuda itself, you have different places, some places where they had the minhag to do that and some places where not. So even within Yehuda itself, if it's a place where they don't do that, then he does have the right for Tainas Pesulim. But otherwise, we would say not. And the Ritva talks about the idea that Abaye's chiddush is that that really without Abaye telling us, you would think that in all places they have the minhag, but some people, some individual people, don't do it, and you would say you ignored those individual people. Now Abaye is telling us that there are actually places, there are actually cities and towns within Yehuda where the local minhag in that city or that town is not to do this yichud. And therefore, so then they have the din of people from other places where therefore there can be tainus besolim. And the Gemara says, "Kiditanya," as in fact we learn in a brayse, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda, be Yehuda, barishona hayom yach mesachasim vesakala shah achas kodim knisasim lachoba." Originally, in Yehuda, they used to have the chasim and kala be in yichud for a short time. A shah achas doesn't literally mean 1 hour; it means a short amount of time before they went into the chuppah, sometime during the period of the erusin. Kadesh yehi liber gaspa, in order that he should get to be familiar with her. And this way, later on, he'll develop a close relationship with her right away. And like the Meiri said, this way, in case the Goyim start enforcing their law about Tibor Lahegman Tchila, then this way, it's more likely that it'll be Ba'onis rather than Beratzen, and she won't be Osir to him. But on the Galil, they didn't used to do that. Further, the Braisa says, "B'Yehuda, but Ishona Hayomamidin Lahem Shnei Shushvinin." In Yehuda, originally, they used to arrange for the Chasen and Kala two Shushvinin, two attendants, one for him, one for him, one for her, in order to check carefully what the chasen and kala are doing when they go into the chuppah, so this way they don't try to cheat each other. For example, the chasen might take the cloth that they use during the first be'ilah, which is usually going to have blood of Dam Besulim on it, and he's going to try to hide it and then claim that he didn't find Besulim. Or vice versa, she might take a different cloth and bring it in with blood already on it and claim that this was Dam Besulim. So they had to shvin in to avoid that. So they would do that. In the Golu, they didn't used to do that. The Ritva actually explains in the Golu, they also had Shushvinin, but they didn't do this mishmush. They didn't do this careful checking because they would check the Kala to make sure, for example, that she doesn't bring in a cloth with blood on it, but they wouldn't bother. They wouldn't bother with Chas. And then the Meiri explains further. He says that in Yehuda, they seem to have been more makbid on these kinds of things. They had more reason to suspect that there's some kind of hanky-panky going on over here, whereas in the Galil, I guess they were more trusting and they didn't worry about that. And the Braisa continues, be Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda, the southern part of Israel, those Shushvinin would actually sleep in the same house where the Chasen and Kala are sleeping, so that way they could carefully check on what the Chasen and Kala are doing. And again, in the Galil, they were more trusting, as the Meiri says, and they didn't worry about that. And the Braisa finishes off. Anybody who does not follow this minhag, any yochel litan tainus besulim, is not able to argue afterwards a tainus besulim. He's not able to argue that I found that she's not a besula when I expected her to be. Now, which minhag do we mean? The Gemara is going to explain. So the Gemara says, "Hey, which part of the Braisa, which minhag are we talking about?" That we're saying that if he doesn't do it. Ilema Aresha, are we talking about the Resha where it's saying that they used to have the Chasen Kala be alone for a while before the chuppah? Then the wording is backwards. Kol shenog mibayolech. It's anybody who did do this minhag can't claim tainus besulim because they were alone. The chos and kala were alone. Therefore, there's a high likelihood that be'ila took place, and therefore he can't claim tainus besulim afterwards. Even we're going to say, like Rashi said earlier, that's not necessarily maliciously he's going to claim, but just that he forgets or whatever. But still, that's reason enough to say that he shouldn't have tainus besulim. Adraba, if you don't have that minhag, that's when you would say that you can claim tainus besulim. Ela asefa. So are you saying it's referring to the Sefer, meaning the second part of the Braisa, talking about the Shushvinin who would check the Chosin and Kala? So the problem is that Kol Shalei Nohag implies something that the Chosin does. Now that means, in other words, we're talking about something that the Chosin has to take care of, make sure that the Kala has not brought in a false cloth or something. So in that case, then the expression should be Kol Shalei Mushmash Miboylei. In that case, the expression should be not just on the chosin. We're talking about so what happens? It's the other way around. The father of the kala is the one who is responsible to make sure that the chosin does not that the chosin doesn't try any funny stuff either. That he's not going to take the cloth and hide it and pretend that there was no besulim. So therefore, kol So the Braisa should say that anyone who they didn't check ahead of time to make sure that he didn't that he doesn't that they don't have any false cloths so that he doesn't lose the cloths or whatever. So what are we talking about? So Abaye says you're right. The statement in the Braisa, the kol shalai nohag, is referring to the resha. The toni kol shalai nohag. So you have to change the wording in the Braisa. It didn't mean to say kol shalai nohag. It meant the other way around. It meant to say kol shalai nohag. Anybody who did have that minhag can't claim tainus besolim. Doesn't like that. The fact is, the Braisa says kol shalai nohag. You can't flip it around. It's one thing. Sometimes we say we have to fix up the wording in a Braisa a little bit, where the wording might have gotten mixed up, but not where you're flipping around between nohag and loy nohag. That's not a mistake that any tana would make. Elo omar Rava. So Rava says no. If a person did not follow the minhag of the Galil in the Galil, namely that in the Galil we're saying they didn't have Shushvinin and they didn't have the Chosin and Kalabi alone doing the Eversin and so forth. So if he didn't do the minhag of Galil over there, Ela minhag Yehuda b'Galil, instead in Galil he decided to bring in the minhag of Yehuda and he and his Kala were alone for a time doing the Eversin, then afterwards any yochel litan tainus besulim, then he can't claim tainus besulim for the same reason as the people of Yehuda, because once there was Yichud, there was probably Bia as well. The point being, in other words, that so the kol shaloi nohag means he didn't do according to the local minhag, instead he followed the minhag of a different place. So now that makes him lose his tainus besulim. Rav Ashi Yomar, and Rav Ashi says a third possibility. La'olam ha-sefer. In fact, the statement kol shaloi nohag can be referring to the sefer, the statement about having shushvinin. And you would say, toni kol shaloi mushmash. So fine, you change the word nohag to mushmash. Anybody who was not checked ahead of time, then he can't claim tainus besulim, because afterwards when he's saying that I didn't find besulim, it might be because in fact he took the cloth and hid it. And we have to be mashmish, we have to check him. We have to check him at the time to make sure that he doesn't have the ability to hide that cloth. Okay, so three different ways of explaining the Braisa. Mishnah says, so we said before that basically a basula gets 200 zuz and almana gets 100, and almana or grusha or what have you, any non-basula gets 100 zuz. So more about that, Mishnah says, echad almanas Yisrael, the echad almanas koinim, whether the woman is a widow whether she was previously married to Yisrael, or whether she was widow, whether she herself, rather, is a bas Yisrael, or whether she is a bas koyin. Either way, ksubasa mana. Either way, since she's a widow and she's already a ba'ula, then her ksuba is 100. But based in shal koyinim, how you go even labsula arameis zuz. The based in of koyinim, you had there were different bate dinim. We know they had bate dinim in every city. In the base mikdash itself, actually, there was something called the based in shal koyinim, who were in charge of keeping track of what's being done with the korbanos and make sure that everything's being done correctly as far as the korbanos and as far as the operations of the base mikdash and whatever. So here, either it means that this was that based in that sat in the base mikdash and then dealt with such things, and they also dealt with this, or it means it could be also the Shita Mekumetzah says there were cities in Eretz Yisrael that were all Kohenim, and then there were local based in, then would be a based in of Kohenim. Anyway, so Hoyu Govin Lubsula Aramez Zuz. They have the minhag over there that a Bas Kohen who is a Basula would get a Ksuba of 400 Zuz. And the Chachamim did not protest about that. Now, what do you mean? Why should the Chachamim protest? The person can make the Ksuba as large as he wants. The point is, Tosfos is printed on Amud Beis, that usually, if you want to add to the Ksuba, you're going to say that, like we have in our standard Ksubas nowadays, the Ksuba is X amount, 100 for a non-Basula, 200 for a Basula, and then you add in the Ksuba of a Tzabi, of a Chosin Dinam, the Chosin wanted or decided on his own, and he added on his own an extra amount, and therefore you have, and here's the total. Here, in these Ksubas that were done, and these ksubas that were done, that were arranged by these bote dinim of koyanim, they didn't put anything about that he voluntarily did it. They put the 400 dechazi lichi that are suitable for you. In other words, and isn't that false? Isn't that correct? Not 400 is not the right amount for a basula. 200 is. So nevertheless, the chachamim did not protest at it. So the Gemara says, so what happened exactly? So Tana, we learn in a braisa, the almanas koyanim ksubasa masayim. Now, what happened was that an almana who's a bas koyin, she gets a ksuba of 200 zuz. The Mishnah says, "Va'anan t'nan echad amonis Yisrael ve'echad amonis koyinim k'subasin mona." Doesn't our Mishnah say that whether she's a bas Yisrael or a bas koyin, she gets k'subah v'mona? So the answer is, "Amar Avashi shtei takonis habu." What happened was, regarding the almana, there were two takonis, there were two stages in the takon regarding an almana bas koyin. Originally, the base in Shokoyin and made the Takana that a Bas Koyin who's a Basula should get 400 Zuz, and then for an Almana who's a Bas Koyin, then she would get a Mana like any other Almana. But Kivin de Chazudim is Zalzali Bahu, then the Chachamim saw, not just the base in Shokoyin, the Chachamim in general saw that people are treating the Almanas more casually. They're thinking it's very easy to divorce them. The whole point of a ksuba is shaloite kalaba ein avodzia. It shouldn't be that easy for him to divorce her. And here, what was happening was it was getting very easy to divorce them because people were figuring, so what? All I have to do is pay out a money. So therefore, takinu lohum masan. So therefore, they made a takana that an almana baskoyin should get 400, should get 200 zuz. So both the ksuba and the almana are going to get twice what a regular woman would get. But then, kiven de chazu de kaparushin minayu, then they saw that people are staying away from marrying almonis of koyanim at all, because the amri, because prospective chasanim would say to themselves, ad dinasvinin almonis koyanim, as long as we're going to spend two, as long as we're going to be on the hook for 200 zuz to marry an almona of a koyan, an almona bas koyan, nasal nasib bestul bas Yisrael, we might as well go instead and marry a basula bas Yisrael, where the ksuba is going to be 200 either way, and a basula, after all, is preferable to a basula. So therefore, Adrino Lemosayu, so therefore the Chachamim put it back to the way it was, and an Amona gets only a mona. So therefore, so our Mishnah is talking after the second Takana. So after the second Takana, a basula bas Koyin gets 400, and an Amona bas Koyin gets only 100. That was after the second Takana. Tosfos discusses a little bit differently. So Tosfos explains that what happened was like this. It's the other way around. At first they didn't want to make an almana bas koyin different than any other almana. On the contrary, they saw that they're treating the almanas more casually. So then they decided to make it 200. But then they realized that you have parashi minayu, so therefore they put it back. So Tosfos explains the two takonis were, number one, they made it double the amount for an almanas koyanim because they were mezalzel in them. So unlike Rashi's explanation, where the mezalzeli bahu is it kind of amounts to the same thing, really, actually. We're saying that originally an almana would get only a mona, but then they saw people on mezalzel in them. So therefore, they found the need to make 200, then they saw parashin minayu, so that's why we have to say there were two takonis. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah, based in Shokoyanim Chola, we said the based in of Koyanim would do this, would say 400 for an almana bas Koyan, Amrav Yehuda Amr Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda, So Tosfos here. Tosfos explains the mezalzeli bahu is a little bit different. Tosfos explains the mezalzeli bahu is people were thinking that look at this, an almana bas koyin is getting ksuba of only one quarter of what a besula bas koyin is getting. So why am I even interested in marrying such a woman? So therefore they upped it to 200 zuz. But then they saw it's even worse that now, at least before, some people would be willing to marry them, figuring that they can get 100 zuz. Now nobody is willing to marry them. So therefore, that's what they put it back. So Tosfos explains that the mezalzeli means that they were saying, what's so special about her? She's only going to marry them at all, because why should I be on the hook for 200 for a ba'ula, for an almana bas koyin, when I could just as well be on the 200 on the hook for 200 for the same 200 for a basula bas Yisrael. Okay, so we said based in Shokoyanim, Chola, the based in of Koyanim would say 400 zuz for a basula bas koyin. So Amr of Yehuda Mashmul, loy based in Shokoyanim Bovad Amru, it's not only the based in of Koyanim, Ela Filim Shpocha Samuel Chosis be Yisrael. Even the families among the Jewish people who have yichus, and you have to remember that yichus in Gemara terminology doesn't mean necessarily what we mean nowadays, like they can trace themselves back to some famous Talmud Chacham or something, but rather it means they have yichus, as in we know that there's no psulim that ever got mixed into the family, which we're going to talk about that topic more in the second parak, that sometime you have psule yichus that get mixed up in a family. So here they knew for a fact they had careful records of yuchsin that there were no such things. So even those families, in Rotsu Lasis Kederach Shakoyinim Osin, sort of Yehuda Mashmul says, if they want to do like what the Koyinim do and say that anybody who wants to marry a woman from her, a psula from their family has to give 400 zuz, Osin, then they can do that.
And the Chachamim are not going to protest that.
Which the point is, only the Mishpachas Miyuchasas have the right to do that. The Ritva explains, if other families do that, then we're not going to allow them to, because otherwise we don't want to make it too hard for people to get married. So therefore, so it's one thing, the Mishpachas Miyuchasas have the right to do that, but not necessarily other families. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, I have a contradiction. And Braisa says, Haroitza lasis kedel shakoinim person. If a person wants to do the way the koinim do, kegoin basistur al koin. For example, a bas yisrael is marrying a kohen, or bas kohen yisrael, or the other way around, a bas kohen is marrying a yisrael. Oisin, and they can do that. They can make it 400 zuz. But the implication seems to be only bas yisrael a kohen, or bas kohen yisrael. Either that she's now becoming the wife of a kohen and she's able to eat truma, or that she's a bas kohen to begin with and she has that yichus of kohuna to begin with. So you could say that then maybe you could say 400 zuz. Ava bas yisrael yisrael loy, but the implication of the braister seems to be that if both sides are yisrael, then no, you don't have the option of the 400 zuz. So how can Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel say that you do, as long as you're a mishpacha miyuchesis? The Bryce is telling us one of these needless to say things. Needless to say, if she's a bas yisrael marrying a yisrael, then you can have 400 zuz, if that's the local minhag. The loyal her that I'm bringing you to a higher level, because she's a yisrael and he's a yisrael. But you would think when a bas yisrael is marrying a kohen, you would think maybe he has a privilege of marrying you. As it is, I'm bringing you to a higher level. Now you become a kohen. Maybe we would say that he doesn't have the right, that her family doesn't have the right to demand 400 zuz for the tzuba. Kamash Malan was saying that nevertheless the minhag of the kohen, it was a valid minhag, and they can tell him 400 zuz or you don't get married. Okay. So now, from here till the end of the parak, we're going to talk about various cases where he marries her and has tainus besolim, and we're going to talk about all the various permutations of that. Some of these we already touched on in earlier gemaras. The first one, hanoises isha v'lematzal besolim, he marries a woman, he finds she doesn't have besolim. So one of the two arguments that we learned previously, either he claims Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, or he claims that there was no blood. So he met us, she says it's true, I did have relations, but it was after the Erusin. It was after the Erusin that I was raped, flooded. We had that expression on the top of days on the days, meaning basically it's your tough luck. When you were Makadish me, I was a Basola, and I would have been entitled to 200 at that point. The fact that my status has changed since then is not my fault, because it was an onus after all. So you're still on the hook to give me the 200. V'hu oimer. And meanwhile, he's counter-arguing, loiki, I don't believe that. Ella, but rather, now he's not saying for sure, but he's saying maybe, it might have happened before that you had... And therefore my kedushin of you, well, my acquisition of you was a mekachtos, and therefore when we learn of Sheshes and of Nachman and Rabba, and we can't necessarily take what she's saying at her word. Ella, so Rabbi Yeshua says, we have to assume Zaka that the Be'ila took place before the Erusin. Fine, we don't have a reason to say necessarily that we have to say that it may have been, there's a Chazaka that it may have happened before the Erusin. And after all, you could argue, she has a Tosfos discusses earlier in the Masechta, we have a couple of blocks ago, we have on the one hand a chazaka that she was a basula at one point. She was born a basula after all. On the other hand, right now we see that she's a ba'ula. So therefore that destroys that original chazaka. And therefore that may mean that in fact that she may have been ba'ula even before the Eros in like Chosinus claiming. And therefore, the Hitatu, and we would say then that she misled him. Rabbi Yeshua says she would have to bring proof for what she's saying, because after all, she wants to claim the extra 100 zuz, then she needs to bring a raya, which we're going to discuss that point in the Gemara about we're going to start talking about dinim mominus over here, about bori v'shema claims, which is basically what we have, claiming a tainus bori. She's claiming that it's definite that it happened at such and such a time, and it's on the expression, by the way, is an interesting one. Why do we use that expression? We're not living from her mouth. So there's a couple of interesting explanations about that. One is there's a kushta, the word kushta means truth in Aramaic. People, they never lie. Story over there So one time, one of the chachamim moved over there, and inadvertently, one time he said something untrue and terrible. Things happen, and the people actually told them, "You need to tell them the truth." They lived long. The opposite, when you don't tell the truth in a place like that, especially, then you don't live long. Lives in a place like this, where they always tell the truth, and that gives them arichas yamim. We're not the truth. There's also there's the idea that we talk about in many emails related to Malchus. Malchus, in turn, is related to speech, like we say in Pasuk HaLayom, Malchus Peh, Torah Shabbat Peh, Karin and Law. So therefore, the idea is that we actually live through Malchus. Malchus is how the Eidoshter is mashpia to us, but that's only when you're telling the truth, because Chesamah Shalakarish Baruch HaEmes, Hashem's seal is truth. If you have Malchus, then the woman representing Malchus is not saying the truth, then it means that life is being taken away from the world. That's the deeper meaning of what we say, Lo Yimapiyah Anuchai. Okay. So the Gemara starts off with a discussion of Dine Mominus, and then we're going to discuss how this relates to Amish. The Gemara says, Itma, we have a discussion of Amiroi. If Reuven says to Shimon, Mona li biyodcha, you owe me a mona, v'halo oima eni yedeya. And the other one says, I don't know, meaning I don't know if I'm chayev to you at all. Tosfa says it means that he's saying, I don't know if I ever borrowed money from you. If he's saying, I know I borrowed, but I'm not sure if I paid it back, then for sure. There's nothing to talk about. We're talking about over here that we're talking about it because there he has a vada that he's good. We're saying that he says, I don't even know if I borrowed from him. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna Amichayev, Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna say that's chayev pay, and Rav Nachman and Rav Yechon say spot. So Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda Amichayev, because they say bori v'shema bori odi. You have Reuven is claiming a tainus bori. He's saying I know for a fact that you owe me this money. Shimon is counter saying a tainus shema. He's saying maybe I owe you, maybe not. I'm not sure. And therefore, body takes precedence, and therefore the body is the stronger argument, and therefore he gets the money. On the other hand, Rav Nachman, Rav Yechon, and Ami Potter, because they say uki mamonim b'cheskas mori, you have to leave the money in the chazaka of its owner. After all, I'm motzi mechavel of a raya. You want to say that I owe you money, then you need to bring a raya. We will have now. Rashi points out, Shimon will have to swear a shvuas hesis, which is a shvur d'rabbanon that he doesn't actually know, which is always the case. Even if he counterclaimed the tainus bori, even if he said, I know for sure I don't owe you the money, we'd still make him swear a shvuas hesis d'rabbanon. So the same thing over here, we'd have to swear a shvuas hesis according to Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. Whereas according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, so now Abaya points out to Rav Yosef, hold Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, this statement of Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, that body of Hashem, body is stronger, you should know, Abaya says to Rav Yosef, Shmuel. It's not Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda's own independent opinion, they actually learned it from Shmuel. Because it's not, we learn in the next Mishnah, or two Mishnayas further, actually, we have on Yud Gimel and Aleph, Hosem Uberes, suppose a woman is pregnant, and she's not married, so we know obviously she had relations. But Omrila Mativa Shal Uberze, people ask her, what's the story with this baby? Who's the father? And after all, the point is that if the father is somebody who's posel the kohuna, like we talked about in Yevamos, if he's a mamzer or a nosin or anybody else, a cholol or anybody else who would posel her, then she herself is posel in the future to marry a kohen. And she answers, me'ish ploini v'koyin hu. She answers, it's from ploini, and that ploini is a koyin. It doesn't have to necessarily be a koyin, per se. The point is, it's somebody who would not posel her from kohuna. So again, you have a similar machlokas to
can believe
he's still kosher to Kohona. And Omer of Yehuda Amash Halacha Kerem Gamil. That the Halacha is like Rem Gamil. So we see that, and we're asking her what the story with who was she, who did she have with her. But here we have Rav Shmuel by Yehuda is also calling that. He says, Amritlan, Mishmei Bishmuel, Halacha Kerem Gamil after Rishon. You told us. Now, what do we mean in the first case? We mean our Mishnah. So, my after is showing us. So what does it mean even in the first case? What's the greater chiddush of our Mishnah over the later one? The chiddush seems to be, even though in the face of it, we should say like Reb Nachman and Reb Yochanan and say, the money is in his chazaka right now. We shouldn't take it away from him without proof. Nevertheless, in the case of Monali Biyodha, where Reuven is saying, you definitely owe me money, and Shimon is saying, maybe I'm not sure if I do. Still, the money is in Shimon's chazaka. So even though in our Mishnah, you could also say that Uki Mamona Bechazkas Mare, that you should put it in the chazaka of its owner, and nevertheless, which would mean, in other words, that the husband should not have to pay the 200, because maybe his taina is correct, and nevertheless, Amar Rav Gamliel Bori Odif, and still Rav Gamliel says that the Bori argument takes precedence, because she's saying Bori, that it wasn't before the Erisin, and he's saying maybe it was, and therefore, so we see, and Shmuel's saying that halacha is like Rav Gamliel. So Shmuel evidently holds that when you have Bori Veshema, Bori Odif, which would be like Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. So we see, therefore, says Abaya, that what Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are saying is basically the same thing as what Shmuel. It is what Shmuel is saying. The question then is, Lamer Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, Da'amri, Kedam Gamil, Rav Nachman, Rav Yechanan, Da'amri, Kedam Yeshua. Well, then does it come out that the machloikas between the two sets of is the same as the machlokas tanoim? The problem, as we said before, Shmuel says that there has to be some kind of chiddush in it. And the answer is Amalach Rav Nachman. The answer is Rav Nachman can say, which Tosfos says actually that only Rav Nachman would say this. Rav Yochanan might say, okay, so I'm going like one time, big deal. But Rav Nachman is going to give an answer that actually what I'm saying would work out according to both tanoim. So Rav Nachman can say, what I'm saying that in the case of Reuven and Shimon, that Shimon is potter, and all he has to do with a Shavuos Hester, because we say Uki Mamoinu B'Cheskas Mori, we say we leave the money in the chazaka of its owner. That could even go according to Rav Gamliel's opinion. You know why Rav Gamliel says in our Mishnah that we believe that there wasn't any, that she didn't have relations at all? She claimed Nansa is a weaker, when she says that there was oinus, that's a weaker argument, because now she's saying that she's posel for the kohuna in the future. So she has a migo. She could have used a better argument. So therefore, she must be telling the truth. That's the fact that she's claiming Tainas Bori. So that Aval Hocha. But when it comes to Reuven saying you owe me a mona, and Shimon says I don't, my migri ikka. There's no migri. So therefore, we can say that not necessarily is that not necessarily are we going to put him on the hook for the money, because after all, we would say, motzi mechaver lo barai. Yeshua would say that after all, if it was onus, there would be a kodol for it, so therefore Rabbi Yeshua would say, come on. So at least the Gemara clearly says that Rabbi Nachman could hold by both Rabbi Huna might indeed, and the Gemara says, inami, another point, another reason why you could say to that Rabbi Nachman can hold like either one of them. Ad kam, for all, the woman to begin with had a chazaka. She was born of Sula, after all. So therefore, we can say that she had that chazaka for as long as possible, till after the Avosin. And that's why Rabbi Gamliel is going to believe her. So plus the fact that also she's claiming a tainus bari. Avol hacha, my chazaka is sleva hai. Over here, there's no chazaka that we should say that Reuven has any kind of chazaka that Shimon owes him a mana. So that's another reason to say. So we could say in Reb Nachman's case, they could say that Shimon is potter because hamotz mechabel. Ahead of time that Shimon ever owed him that money. And the Gemara says, Hoch the Naman Sabbard could. In fact, it's logical to say, like we're answering, that Rav Nachman saying like Rav Gamliel, and on the other hand, we don't find anybody arguing with that. So the halacha would have to be like Rav Yeshua, but the halacha was Mishanin. Therefore, we have to answer, like we said, that there is a distinction that his din could work either according to Rav Gamliel or according to Rav Yeshua for the true reasons that we said, because there was a stronger reason in our Mishnah to believe her, either because, again, either because she has a is because she has some midgoy, and also because